Good morning, everyone. It's nice to see you all here. In my mind, I'm really delighted to see all of you here, knowing that you've given up your own time, your free time, and chosen to come here when the weather is beautiful and sunny. But you've decided to use your time to come here and hear about the Buddha Dharma and to meditate on the Buddha Dharma, to cultivate the minds of the Buddha Dharma within all of you. So that really brings great joy to me, and I rejoice in your endeavors. If you think about how much time we have, so the year of course is comprised of 365 days, and we think like that, it's quite some time. But when we think about how often we meditate, and in terms of frequency as well as duration, well, it's not so often. So now that you've all decided to come here and spend 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 days, however long you can stay for, engaging in hearing the teachings of the Buddha Dharma, thinking about them, meditating on them, this brings great joy to my mind.
So
all all of us sit in here, myself and yourselves, and not just us, but all sentient beings without exception, we share the wish in wanting to experience happiness. And this motivates us in everything that we do, say, or think. And moreover, we don't want to experience even a moment of unhappiness or difficulties or problems of any kind. Of course, not severe problems, but we don't even want to experience minor sufferings and problems. And our wish is the same in this way, in that we don't want to experience problems even for a moment. We just want to experience happiness, lasting happiness, stable happiness. So in this way, all of us are exactly the same. Having these two complementary wishes, we need to then engage in their respective methods or techniques to achieve these. So there's the one method that one needs to engage in so as to achieve our desired happiness. And there's the a second method to engage in so as to eliminate all problems and difficulties. What are these two methods that we need to engage in? So the one method for achieving both happiness as well as eliminating problems and difficulties, this is relating to having good material conditions. If we have conducive conditions, this does bring us happiness, and it does remove or eliminate problems. So the one method is to achieve conducive conditions or good material conditions. The second method is concerned with the inner world. So we've just heard about the first method was to do with the material conditions, and the second is to do with our inner spiritual development. So this is, in its briefest form, is about developing our way of thinking. And this development, or how to develop our way of thinking, is the primary focus of the Buddha Dharma. So all of us who are engaging in the practice of Buddhism, this is our primary focus, the development, our inner development, our development of our way of thinking. So let's very briefly at the first method. So the first method is to achieve good material conditions. So this is important. This is something that we all need. And if we do have good material conditions, then this will bring us happiness, and it will eliminate some problems and difficulties. However, the happiness that comes about is certainly only of a temporary type. It's not lasting or stable. And similarly, in terms of having good material conditions, This does, of course, eliminate problems and difficulties in our life, but it doesn't completely eliminate problems, only temporarily eliminating problems. So on the one hand, it is important that we have good material conditions, but we should understand that the happiness that it brings and the problems that it eliminates, this is only achieved on a temporary basis. If we engage in only being concerned about our external world, about developing good material conditions, and that is our sole focus, whilst we will achieve some temporary happiness and eliminate some problems temporarily, it's only temporary. We will still continue to meet problem after problem after problem. However, the second technique, the technique that is focused on one's inner spiritual development, this technique brings about a very different result. Because if we put time and effort into looking at our minds and developing our minds and thinking about how we can change our way of thinking, develop our way of thinking, so that we can bring about a lasting happiness and we can eliminate our problems and difficulties in terms of our mental experience of them, this, as we develop our mind further and further, then our experience of happiness, this becomes more lasting and more stable, and the problems that we currently experience, these start to become less significant, less overwhelming, and then soon we start to experience far longer lasting happiness, and the problems we experience become less disturbing for us and less dominating in our minds. If we, amongst all the various types of beings, we look at the two we're most familiar with, fellow humans as well as animals, and we think, so who are better amongst humans and animals? Well, if we think about physical capacity, then probably speaking in general, animals are actually better. But in terms of mental capacity, then it's incomparable. Then humans are significantly better.
Then
So if you think about, so to back up my assertion here, that in terms of the physical body, that animals in general are better than humans. Take as an illustration the birds that I see from my window every day. So for these birds to survive, even though they may have tiny little bodies, they don't need a large community caring for them. They can generally get enough food that they need to eat, and they can get enough to drink and the like without too much difficulty. And in terms of caring for the young, well, one, it doesn't take very long, just probably a few months. And then in terms of the amount of care they need to give to their little ones, it's not so much. Whereas if you look at the situation for humans, we would struggle if we had to suddenly care for ourselves completely. If we had to make our own clothes, build our own home, if we had to grow all our own food, we don't know how to do this. It would be very clear how dependent we are on others. And in terms of caring for our children, this takes many years, if not one's entire life, and one has to care for them in so many ways. And that the variety of problems and difficulties that we meet, caring for our children or trying to bring out the best outcome for our children, isn't incomparable to an animal looking after their child. And likewise, we as humans, of course, encounter problems and we have conflict with others, as do animals. But when the birds have some argument, they may fly at each other or try and bite each other, but then they fly away and it's pretty much gone, and I don't think it dominates their minds for very long. We, on the other hand, our experience of conflict with others is very different. So in many ways, we can see that animals in general, they probably are physically superior to human beings. Comparing the situation of humans and animals on a mental level, well, here actually it's difficult to even make a comparison, in that humans are so much more advanced or so much more developed, in that our way of thinking is so very different to that of animals. And this is something that we can easily see. So for example, when animals experience problems and difficulties, their methods to solve them are incredibly limited. And that is primarily because of their limited intelligence. And similarly, their techniques to achieve happiness or enhance their happiness, these are also limited. And not so much due to their physical difficulties or their physical form, but primarily due to their mental limitations. So if we look at if we make a comparison, so we can take an animal such as an elephant. It's clearly much stronger than any human being. Yet a feeble human being can tame and control an elephant and get an elephant to do his own bidding. Likewise, whales are incomparably larger than humans. Yet humans can tame killer whales and get them to perform in water parks and the like. So this is despite their far greater physical strength, due to the superior human intellect, humans can control animals and get animals to do things that humans otherwise couldn't do. For example, outside we have large trees, and in some forests they are really very impressive trees. An animal can maybe live on a branch or sit in the shade, but beyond that they can't utilize this resource. A human with their intellect can work out how to fell a tree, how to use it in a way that will be of great benefit to them. So these are skills and techniques that only humans have, and only because of our superior intellect. And then this is looking at illustrations in the natural world. If we look at, in terms of our modern technology, what humans, due to our superior intellect, have been able to create, well, it's very clear there is no comparison. Animals are incapable of being able to develop technology to eliminate their problems and enhance their happiness in the way that human beings can. Should be clear to all of us that humans have a superior intellect. However, how we use this intellect is particularly important. So it's clear that we can do amazing things. However, independent on this intellect, what we can be very destructive. It can also be very beneficial, but we see in the world how through people misusing their intellect, they can cause great harm. So this is most apparent in a few areas, such as through scientists and engineers and the like, who have a very well-developed intellect. They have created technology that is very harmful in the world. And we can see in the way that modern warfare can create tremendous destruction and has created tremendous destruction. And similarly with the problem of terrorism, here we have people utilizing their intellect in a very mistaken way, and here they cause tremendous suffering to so many beings. And furthermore, people using their intellect in a mistaken way, we could look at the abuse of the natural world. And again here, we have people who are highly educated and intelligent, and in their laboratories they've worked on technology that in the end has brought great destruction to our natural world and placed our world in tremendous danger. Now, of course, thirdly, we could look at, in terms of, on a smaller scale, someone who uses their intellect to defraud others, to take advantage of others, to deceive others. And in this way, they bring about disharmony and problems in society. So these are some illustrations that we all have experience of in terms of we see clearly of how people utilize their tremendous intellect in a harmful way.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, those other humans with this wonderful intellect, they can use this intellect and do use this intellect in a way that is very beneficial in society. So whether it's through engaging in work in one's community to be of benefit to others, and developing one's inner mental strength so that one's way of thinking takes into account the impact that one's behavior has on others and starts to see this as particularly important. So when people use their intellect in a way that is beneficial to others, then they can bring about certainly temporary benefit to others, as well as even lasting benefit to others. So here we can see how the people with a good motivation, a motivation where they're thinking of how they can help their community, they bring happiness not just to those around them, such as their family and their loved ones, but also to their larger community, even to their nation or to the world. So this comes about through developing their way of thinking, to develop in particular a good heart, where they become aware of their impact on those around them. And they come to see that their impact on those around them is of primary importance. And so through cultivating their way of thinking in this way, utilizing their intelligence, developing their way of thinking, then they can bring about lasting happiness to both themselves and impact on others, and bring about lasting happiness to others too.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing the importance of not only bring about one's own happiness, but doing so through achieving or helping others achieve happiness as well, then one, if one sees the importance of doing this, then one should focus on one's motivation, one's inner world. Because it's through developing one's motivation that one's way of thinking will change. And through changing our way of thinking, we will be able to achieve happiness for both ourselves as well as for others. So here we need to focus on the motivation, in particular to develop a motivation where it's very clear to us that we should not harm others in any way, that we should not harm others physically, we should not harm others with our speech, and we should train our mind so that our mind is always thinking about how we can be of benefit to others, and ensuring that we don't think about our own need, and thereby our own need primarily, and thereby taking advantage of others, and making sure that we're happy at the expense of others. So to achieve this, we need to train our motivation, develop our way of thinking.
就是今年在森林里讲多少钱的用过过了嘛都马讲多少马几百钱啊那用还用过嘛的在家里呢但俺都家里呢这个老庄这些辛苦了嘛都老庄马几那些也喜欢嘛是吧那老庄每天森林这个等俺这个三六家伙三六天闲了你不接个别就老婆单位呢你俩老庄也不讲多少也不去过了嘛都等那个 这个老庄也不没人这个米里啊那个学期末结束嘛这是穷穷嘛结束期末结束嘛就像米里啊没差期末没把水啊当米忙不水土啊当你那个女方期末水啊老庄有人这个老庄也不结老庄有人这个老庄对别学当老婆当这你那干啊穷期末水土过来那平常心啊这个米里啊胖多呀当米怎么也是的样啊当吃上了这个也不用啊这
In all fields of the world, we can observe that those who do a tremendous amount of good, or those who can bring about a tremendous amount of harm, the amount of good or harm that they do is dependent on how skilled they are in their field, how much experience they have in their field, how educated they are in their field. So someone who is educated and experienced and skilled, they will be able to bring about either a tremendous amount of benefits in the world or harm. So this is a key point here. It's the training that brings about skill and experience and education. This impacts on how much either benefit or harm people do in the world. And this is true in all fields. The education that we receive in the world, so through the regular education system, this is very good at bringing about material progress and has produced a tremendous number of very skilled people who have made quite an impact on the world. But the education system is only focused on the material world. There is very little emphasis at all, if any at all, on the inner world, on developing minds such as love and compassion, and developing minds of taking responsibility for our impact on others. We know from our own experience that the general education system is only focused on material progress and material developments in the world. It largely ignores the development of our way of thinking, the development of our inner world.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, the Buddha Dharma is solely focused on inner development. It's solely focused on bringing about minds that bring about stable, lasting happiness, bring about minds that eliminate suffering completely, and not just for oneself, but for others too. So the focus of the education in the Buddha Dharma is completely the opposite to the focus of education in the world. To achieve this inner development, this inner mental development, where one is able to bring about lasting happiness, as well as to eliminate all suffering minds and the like, then this is where the Buddha Dharma is particularly skilled. And it's so as to achieve this that we come today together to hear about this text, text called The Eight Verses of Mind Training by Langri Thangpa. So he was a renowned a scholar and practitioner from Tibet, maybe about 1,000 years ago. And he wrote this text based on his own experience in cultivating minds of lasting happiness and eliminating completely minds of suffering. So this text, which was written from the own experience of Geshe Langri Thangpa, so what is the main purpose of this text, or the meaning behind this text? So this text explains how to achieve inner happiness and how to eliminate all the suffering and the problems and the difficulties that we experience in our minds. And furthermore, it teaches about how to relate to others, how to be of benefit to others, and how to deal with all difficult situations that we may experience in relation to others, as well as in relation to ourselves. So all of that has been taught here from Langri Thangpa's own experience, and is presented in this brief text.
And
干啥子去呢？哦，你家伙的什么什么的那有不当子？就算第三步路的俺自己前来这月三八俺自己了，现在三步路就好了哇！要不然这第怕这没俺都留在了马上呢，这些的不也还那学了哇？现在俺这三步路拿来，这月三八就好了，这第怕伢们那工三八节，伢那个些休息些大爷的。
And this text then presents techniques in how to develop our way of thinking, how to bring about a mental transformation. Hence, it's called a text on mind training. So the kinds of minds that this text trains us in the development of are minds of such as love, minds such as kindness, minds such as compassion. And also, furthermore, this text trains us in how, or the application of this text trains us in the abandonment of any harmful minds towards others. So in other words, developing minds of love and compassion towards all beings. So this text then helps us overcome our selfish mind, our mind which puts ourselves at the forefront of everything we do. And not only that, it helps us overcome the bias or the discrimination that we have towards certain groups. So in particular, we tend to care about the happiness and well-being of our loved ones. And there are others that we really don't care about at all, we don't really think about. And if things go well for them, that's fine. If things go wrong for them, well, that's a bit sad, but it doesn't impact on us at all. And then there's the third group that we don't like at all. These are the kinds of people that we'd rather not meet, we'd rather not encounter. And if they have problems and difficulties, well, inside we maybe feel a little bit happy about that. So this text helps us to overcome all that bias and that discrimination that we have towards others and come to develop minds of love and compassion towards all, to come to develop a mind that wants others not only to experience happiness, but to ensure that we won't harm them in any way. So just like in whatever field of work that one engages in or whatever sports and activities one enjoys, we know that one needs to train repeatedly over a sustained period so as to become skilled. And here, this is a text of mind training. It's a text on how to train the mind. And if we do so over a sustained period of time, repeatedly over a sustained period of time, then these minds of love and compassion and harmfulness, these will arise within us, and they'll start to become more stable, more familiar to us, and eventually arise in us naturally and become part of our nature. We've all come together here to hear about this text and to meditate on the meaning of this text. So this is the primary reason that everyone has gathered together here. So let's talk briefly then about what the meaning of this term meditation is. So meditation, so this term that we translate as meditation can equally be translated as habituation or familiarization or cultivation. So these are all synonyms. And what this shows is that meditation involves repeatedly thinking about a particular topic, repeatedly thinking about it again and again, slowly in deeper and deeper ways, and doing so in a way that is personal to you and your own life and your own experience. And the reason to do this is the purpose of meditation is to slowly bring about a change in our way of thinking, to bring about a new way of thinking. So if we don't use the term meditation and we use the word familiarization, what we're trying to do is familiarize ourselves with a new way of thinking. Or if we use another synonym, that of habituation, we're trying to create new mental habits. So that is the meaning of meditation. It's thinking again and again about the same topic, but slowly in deeper ways, and also always in relation to one's own experience. And in this way, we bring about new mental habits. We start to think in a different way. And so starting to think in a different way, this of course will bring about a change within our way of thinking, and therefore in the way that we relate to others, the way that we speak to others, etc. So this then starts to have an impact on those in our immediate circle. And as we start to cultivate these minds further and further, we have a greater impact on all those we encounter, whether people we live with, people we work with, or those that we meet socially. So in this way, through our own inner development, we start to bring about great benefit to others. So here in meditation, we're of course focusing on our own mind. But through our mental development, our behavior changes, our way of speaking changes. And this then has an impact on others. And in this way, we directly have an impact on the happiness of others. And so this, we've now come together here to meditate together for a number of days, maybe as long as 5 days. So this is fantastic, and I rejoice in this, because now you have the opportunity to hear about the Buddha Dhamma, and then with Venerable Lundrup to repeatedly meditate on these topics. So what we're doing, of course, here is now developing a habit with meditation, developing a habit with new ways of thinking. So my hope is then that this habit then, through engaging in meditation, you'll experience some peace, you'll experience some inner joy, and you'll come to experience the benefit that comes from meditation. Because meditation shouldn't only be done on retreat. My hope is then you take this home with you, and you incorporate this into your own daily meditation practice. Because if we do meditation over a sustained period of time, repeatedly over a sustained period of time, then change comes. If you're doing it now and again, it's very difficult to bring about any lasting change. So my hope is that through having a concentrated period now, your way of thinking you will experience a new way of thinking, and with this peace and happiness. And then this you'll take into your own daily meditation. And then just one last thing to say in terms of one's own daily meditation. Here it's important to overcome a misconception. Meditation isn't only done on a cushion. It's not only done on a chair. Meditation should be done everywhere. So the reason we sit still here, whether it's on a chair or on a cushion, is so that we can have some focus time and develop these new mental habits. But these mental habits then, we should remind ourselves of wherever we are, whatever we're doing. So if when one is going about one's daily business and one's doing something that doesn't require too much focus, remind yourself of what you're meditating on. Remind yourself on your meditation topic. So one doesn't need to be in a retreat. One doesn't need to be in isolation in the mountain somewhere. Meditation can and should be done in one's own home. It can be done in one's own car. It can be done whilst one is cooking or having a lunch break. So that is, if one then takes meditation, understands meditation in that way, then lasting change will come. Because lasting change comes about due to developing new mental habits. And new mental habits come from repeated cultivation over a sustained period.
That is the issue of the
So this morning, in our first session, we've spoken about how we all share a wish for happiness and to be free from problems and difficulties, and how this is achieved through external material development as well as through inner development. And that our focus here is, of course, on the inner development. So all of us sitting here, we have minds of love, of compassion and the like. We also have minds that bring about harm to others, that bring about suffering for ourselves as well. So we have all of these kinds of minds. So over the course of this retreat, we're going to be focusing on both of these. And we're going to be focusing on how to develop these minds of love and compassion and bring about an inner and a more stable motivation of loving kindness. We're also going to focus on how to eliminate, weaken, and eventually eliminate completely all minds that bring about harm to ourselves and bring about harm to others. So we're going to be focusing here through the classes and then the meditation on the classes, how to bring about lasting happiness for ourselves and for others. So this here comes through the technique of meditation or training or habituation. And so we know from all forms of life that to become skilled in something, one needs to train, and one needs to train repeatedly over a sustained period. And sometimes it gets a little bit boring, it gets a little bit difficult, but through persevering and doing so with a good motivation, with a happy mind, then transformation comes about. And this is true in all aspects of life. So here we're going to be looking at the mind, and how to develop a mind that is harmonious both with ourselves and with others. How to bring about good relationships with others and bring about harmony in our community. Then this afternoon we'll start with the text itself, and we'll look at the various practices and meditation techniques to bring about happiness, to eliminate problems and difficulties. Okay. So we'll finish here, and then enjoy your lunch. And if there's some questions, we'll take them later. Thank you very much.
Yeah, well, I'm a man. Only one door,